News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So, hey, listen, there's so much going on the show today. I mean, I don't know if we're going to get to the triple dipper. I may wind up having half of a dipper. I don't know what we're going to get. But we're going to do it because, I mean, I'm pretty stoked. We've got two brand new rookie legislators. I mean, they're not in office yet, but they're fairly assured. In fact, I think Lance Bell running for the state Senate by winning the primary, he just won the election because there is no Democrat in that race. And then Ernie Yarbrough, I don't know that there's a Democrat in that race either. Strong Republican areas, and I'm pretty stoked about both of them coming on the show today. And we're going to try and pick up a few more of those as we go along. I think it's important for you to know who's out there winning their elections, especially the ones who chose to run against an incumbent. I find that to be interesting. So when an incumbent is in office, a lot of times they seem to be, you know, the word is often entrenched. Well, I mean, I ran against a longtime incumbent, but he was a Democrat. So I ran against a guy who had been there for three or four terms, and everybody thought he was a dynasty. Oh, you can't get rid of him, man. It's hard. Well, guess what? But yeah, these guys, though, looked at their own party and were not satisfied with the results of what they were seeing in their local representation, and they ran. And that's not easy, by the way. Some people think of that as like some kind of betrayal. It's not. I mean, there's just as many versions of Republicans, I guess, as there are anything else. Just like if you could say, I'm a doctor. What kind? A pediatrician? A podiatrist? A proctologist? No. Anyway, but yeah, these two guys, they ran, and they ran hard primaries. Ernie Yarbrough, Lance Bell, they'll be on the show today. And then, of course, like I said, we have the Grand Council at 4 o'clock. That's always fun, and the banter going back and forth. As long as we are staying on track, because, I mean, just those two guys, we have fun. Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, and me. Hey, by the way, if you find yourself getting outside the what I always call it, the overly broad range of our AM/FM capability here at WVNN, just know it does not matter because you can go anywhere in the whole wide world to the World Wide Web and go to rightsideradio.org. Rightsideradio.org, that's our website. All our stuff's on there. So, like, aside from the Right Side store where you can order t-shirts and coffee mugs and all that, aside from the fact that our podcast is on there and we're literally just on the cusp of hitting 50,000 downloads, aside from the fact that our recommended reading list and the things that Copper and I write that get published statewide and stuff like that, all that's on there, so is the Listen Live option. That's why we have people all over the place that are, like, you know, obviously out of state or, you know, way down South Alabama. And they can't hear it by AM, FM, so they stream it online. That's your option. And that's why our audience is so broad, so diverse, and I love that. So anyway, yeah, rightsideradio.org, that's it. You want to check that out. I'll tell you, too, just as a shameless plug, we have some great sponsors, and we're about to pick up some more. Those sponsors are direct advertisers with Right Side Radio. So if you want to make sure that your ad is on Right Side, we would love to have you, make you part of the team. The best way to do that is communicate to us directly. And on the website, there's a contact place where you can send us an email. We'll get it. We'll respond back to you. Actually going through some stuff right now to expand our sales team. And that's very cool. So, yeah, Right Side Radio is becoming a force. And you guys have made it that way. I mean, when I say that, I am not kidding. I mean, I'm still blown away by the fact that this show's doing what it's doing. And love that. But like I said, I think it was yesterday, I said, I can sit here and talk in this microphone for 3 hours. If nobody listened, you know, what good is it? So anyway, thank you to all of you who make this happen. Now, I'm going to be getting into number one of the triple dipper in a minute. I do have time for that, and I'm going to. And it's more of the you had one job thing. Like, looking at it, what is a registrar? How do they get their jobs? Who appoints these people? Well, and by the way, when I say that, there's some good folks out there who are registrars. I've known several who are just solid, and they go to work, and they dig in, and they keep the rolls clean, and they do what they got to do. And then there's some, like the ones that I was talking about in Etowah County and others, that I look at and go, how did you get this job? How did you get the one job? How did you get in a position where you can impact the elections integrity in Alabama? not because we have, you know, lack of security, not because we have we don't do photo ID. Yes, we do. We didn't have anything like changing the COVID rules. No, we just had people sitting there at a desk who were supposed to take that stubby pencil out and make an amendment to the rotor rolls, and they didn't. And they had one job. And I'm going to talk about that. Plus, I'm going to remind you something I said, I guess it was a month ago when I was talking about that first time that Etowah County had its issues. Well, the first most recent time Etowah County had its issues. And I reminded everybody about the one small town in South Alabama where somehow or another 125% of the population voted in the municipal elections. You see, it matters. Every vote matters. Right now, we have an election too close to call in Etowah County for a House seat, and it's sitting on pins and needles wondering what just happened with these votes. At the same time, we've got a House seat race up here in Northwest Alabama, where Ben Harrison is sitting out front waiting to see who's going to wind up being in the runoff with him, because the other two guys are only separated by 5 votes. You've got a state Senate seat down in Lee County, Auburn, that is only separated by 4 votes right now. And they're trying to count and figure out what's what. And they won't know till next week when they canvass the provisionals and all the absentee ballots have been counted and everything's good and the military ballots are in. Folks, I'm telling you, every vote counts. So registrars cannot mess this up. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So, yeah, we had a lot of races around the state, and some of which are shockingly close. I mean, wow. And I said the other day, runoff will be the word of the day, and it is. In fact, on the statewide races alone, I sort of put it out there and said, on the statewide races, I'm going to predict right now there'll be 4. Well, I got 3 right, but there were actually more than that. I was just talking about 4 specific races: state auditor, secretary of state, U.S. Senate, and governor. Well, governor's the only one of those I just named that didn't go to a runoff. And then on top of that, you got, I think, runoffs in both of the Public Service Commission races. And then you got runoffs right now left and right in different counties. I mean, so the bottom line is this. The registrars need to make sure they have their jobs squared away. So I mentioned, and I'm not going to spend too much more time on it, but I mentioned to you that the registrars are the ones who keep the rolls. And, you know, before I got into office myself, I think I was a little bit like, registrar, what's that? They're these people that they have stacks of paper in the courthouse. What do they do? I didn't know. But let me tell you a personal story. So when I first ran for office in 2010, you know, it's just kind of cool. I'm going to vote for myself in the primary, because I did have a primary opponent at first. And I think I beat him with like 60-something%. But anyway, the bottom line was I had a primary. And I went to the polls and I voted for myself. How cool was that? I mean, my name's on a ballot. This is wild. What kind of world am I living in? My name's on a ballot. This is so cool. So Charlene and I go together and we vote and things are fine. I came back a mere, 6 months later to vote for myself in the general election. And I walked in to find out that I was no longer on the voter rolls. What? Yes. I had to vote provisional for myself, even though I had just voted in the primary, even though I had lived at the same house at that point for going on, 15 years. I had voted in multiple other elections at the same place. I mean, I knew exactly where to go. I knew the best parking places. I was so used to it. Walk in the door, stand in the line, go to the, since it was a big box area, so I'd go to the line that was something like W through Z, so it was really the last few letters of the alphabet, and that's me, I'm a Williams, so I'd give my photo ID, and I'm not on the ballot. I'm not on the voter list. What do you mean I'm not on the voter list? How can this be? Well, I know exactly how it was. There was some hanky-panky going on at the courthouse. There were Democrats in charge then, and they're not now. But I'll be honest, the Democrats are not in charge now, but there's still some jacked up voter rolls. So here's the deal. Board of registrars. So every county has its board of registrars. I pulled this off of one of their websites. It's a primary public entity for administration of voter registration in every single county. It's established pursuant to state code. If you're wonkish enough to want to know what the code is, it's Title 17-4-150 of the Code of Alabama. The board of registrars is typically comprised of three members, one of which is the chairman, and the other two serve as registrars. Of the three, one's appointed by the governor, one's appointed by the state auditor, and one's appointed by the Secretary of Agriculture and Industries for the state of Alabama. Don't ask me why. That's the statute. And so each one of them serves, and they get paid $120 a day, but I believe they are capped on the number of days they're allowed to work, almost positive. And they get they also get reimbursement for any expenses and that kind of thing. Well, their job, they're literally, it says on this website, their job is to administrate voter registration to include the perpetual maintenance of an up-to-date roster of registered voters. Well, it ain't quite working out like that in some places. I told you about the story from 1819, and I won't belabor it anymore, but it's Mac Butler. He's the one that broke all this. He's the one that brought it up. And Mac Butler's like, his sister goes to vote, and she's not handed the right ballot. Her own brother's name is not on it. How can this be? Well, you live in the wrong district. No, I don't. Well, so think back. Here's what happened. They redraw the lines every 10 years. The census takes place. They redraw the lines. Well, usually they redraw the lines. Like when I was there, we did it for the 2010 census. We did it in early 2011. We would get the results back from the census. We go through the whole reapportionment process. We lay out the new lines. Everybody looks, through it. It's a stack. I mean, it's considered one bill, but it literally sits about 8 inches thick because it's got every voter precinct in the state, and we have to pass it. And that thing passed. I think we got it done in like February or March. And that gave the entire year for people to know where they were going to run. Well, this year, no. Well, COVID was so scary. COVID was so bad that the Biden administration couldn't get the census data together, so to speak, and get it out to the states. The states didn't get it till like August. But then Alabama, even though they kind of knew what was coming, didn't have their act together in the legislature. They didn't get it done until something like, what, October, November? So you literally had people who did not know where they were going to live in terms of where they were going to vote, and if they wanted to run for office, just too bad. Well, they finally got the numbers in. Qualifying took place shortly thereafter, and then we're off to the race, if you will. Well, usually they've had 6 or 8 more months to work with. Not this time. And so Mac Butler is running for a new district because he was drawn out of his old district. Funny how that worked out. So Mac Butler's drawn out of his old district. And then literally, Copper, are you trying to tell me something? Do we have callers? I didn't see a caller on the board. You got one?
Maybe the internet didn't put it through. I will retype it for you.
Yeah, if you got a caller, just put it on the board because I don't see it right now. Just go ahead and get it up there and let me know. Anyway, the bottom line is Matt Butler's sister said nope, and that opened up Pandora's box. So here we are. Well, I want to remind you of this. It was Uniontown, Alabama. Uniontown, Alabama in the year 2012. I pulled this story off Tuscaloosa News. Uniontown, Alabama, where 125% of the voters, of the population, turned out. Not supposed to work that way. All right, there's my caller. I see it, Copper. Go ahead and highlight him when you're ready. I think we're good to go. I see it now. All right, you ready, Copper? We good? Yes, line one, Brian from Huntsville. Brian, how you doing, man?
Doing well, and I hope you are also.
Yes, sir. And, yes, sir.
Based on what you're going, a question for you, Copper, the council, if it comes up, how many progressives jump ticket since apparently it looks like in Alabama, at least, everything's going to be filled by Republicans? how many jump ticket to select a more amiable person to their ideology as far as the Republicans? I can't say conservatives totally.
Well, it's funny you ask that, because there was an accusation made today by Mo Brooks that the Katie Britt campaign did, in fact, encourage that through some kind of backdoor means. I guess they were claiming there was some kind of activist or grassroots activist work being done to get Democrat crossovers to help. And I don't know if it's true or not, but I do know that there's a real strong belief that back in 2010 that the Bradley Byrne campaign got railroaded by Democrat crossovers who came in there to vote for Robert Bentley so they wouldn't have to worry about the teachers union target of opportunity, which was Bradley Byrne. And
I remember
and we had
that
to pass
one because
laws.
That's where that question came from. So yeah. I'll leave it up to y'all to discuss it. So,
all right,
thank
man.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate you. Yeah, that's a thing. Crossover voting is a thing. You're allowed to crossover vote. It's a free speech issue. But what they're saying in the Alabama law now, what we passed was that if you vote in a party primary, you cannot switch for a runoff. And that's what they were doing back in the day. They created the issue with a switchover vote for Bradley Byrne, Robert Bentley. And then they jumped in and literally sort of went to help the weaker candidate they felt like during the runoff. And that's that. Copper, grab the mic and tell me what you got.
Yeah, a friend of mine wonders if that's why Ivy won by so much, if a bunch of Democrats were voting for her.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, granted, she is the incumbent. She is the Republican incumbent who's been in office long enough to where she had name ID, she had the money, she had a campaign platform. I don't know if that's, I would love to, if I tell you what, if somebody out there knows of an instance where you know, you saw Democrats crossing over, I would love to hear it. Love to hear it. Especially if anybody's got an email or a flyer that says cross over now, if you've got that, listen, that's a news story and I want to know it. But other than that, I have no proof. All I'm hearing is speculation. All right, Copper, I tell you what, tell our caller, if you will, to hold on during the break, because we got to take it now, and I won't have time for him if we don't go ahead. So ask him if he can hang on during the break and move us to it right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Registrars have one job. Well, so do voters. We want our vote to count. All right, you stay tuned. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Had a caller that held on during the break, and I certainly appreciate that. So let me just go grab it right now. Line 2, Mark from Huntsville. Hey, Mark, Phil Williams, thanks for holding.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon to you. What's on your mind?
Oh, man, here's our little history lesson, especially for those around the country that are listening in, okay? You go back to Reconstruction, and we had never had a statewide Republican elected. So what would happen in Alabama is when you had a statewide office and you had a primary, Republicans would go vote for the guy that they wanted off the Democrat ticket to be there, because there wasn't anybody, or maybe one person at the most, running on the Republican side. So that's why they had to cross over voting, so it went way on back there. Well, along came Guy Hunt. And also came with Graddick and Baxley back in the 80s, I guess it was.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
So the Democrats had their primary, and the Republicans voted in their primary. And when they got through, they said, the Democrat machine said, wait, there were too many Republicans crossing over for this candidate, so we're going to put our candidate, the other guy, on the ballot.
Yeah.
So November rolls around, or when I guess it's June when they had the governor election. And so the people who had voted for the guy not on the ballot said, I'm not voting for him. I voted against him. So they said, there's a Republican running. And that's how we got our first Republican governor the first time.
But
I do have a question based on what you were saying earlier, okay?
Yeah.
If I had voted in the Democrat primary, and now here we have the runoff, and the Republican primary, how am I excluded? What is the mechanism that excludes me from voting in that Republican runoff?
Yeah, thanks. So when you go to the polls, you know, they ask you Republican or Democrat ballot in the primary, and they hand you the ballot of your particular party choice. If you come back in a runoff and they've got you already on, because they make an annotation in the records, and if you come back and you try to vote in the opposite primary in the runoff, my recollection is you are stopped from doing that.
So there is something that tells them they're not supposed to give me that other ballot.
That is correct.
Okay, good. I didn't know that. I was just that's the reason I asked, because I didn't know.
Yeah, that's one of the changes we made after the Robert Bentley election, when we realized how many crossover voters had tried to work against Bradley Byrne. We thought, you know what, crossover voters, because you're right, the whole Graddick election thing, that was a debacle, and that did wind up with Guy Hunt, nice guy from Holly Pond, Alabama, but he had a little trouble as governor. But the reality is, those crossover votes were part of the scheme of the machine back in the day. And so we hopefully got rid of it.
But, you know, from what I understand, though, really, he hadn't done anything that the Democrats hadn't been doing. It's just that he had an R after his name, and so that's how they went after him.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. Hey, man, thanks for the call. Thanks for holding on during the break. Appreciate you, Mark.
Sure.
Good history lesson. Sure. That was good. I was on point. He's right. I mean, crossover voting is a tactic. I mean, so you soften up the field by having crossover voting vote for what you think is the weaker candidate. So come the general election, hopefully you've got who you want to vote against your real, and then you switch back, you know, for the general election. And it's a classic, but you know, we tried to stymie some of that. If you get a runoff, you don't want people trying to switch parties and go back to try and affect the runoff in the other party to soften up the field even further. So literally in the primary, you vote your party, that's fine, that's your right, but you got to stay in the primary with the party that you came with. General election, you could switch back, but in the primary runoff, you cannot switch from the one that you just voted for. And some would say, well, that's just an infringement on my rights to free speech. No, not really. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because this year, for the very first time, we're going to have libertarians on the ballot. I mean, actually, the Libertarian Party of Alabama qualified to be able to get on the ballot. And, you know, ballot access is not unreasonable, but there's a threshold. You have to reach a certain level of signatures to be an independent or to be a third party. And you have to do that, because otherwise you'd have every Tom, Dick, and Harry forming their own, you know, smoke dope and eat toilet paper party. And it would just, you know, you'd fill the ballot up with ridiculousness of people that don't really qualify as a party, or don't even really qualify as a candidate. Well, this is designed to have some measure of accountability, but also make sure the ballot stays somewhat clean of the clutter of every, you know, every hunting club deciding they're going to be the new Republican, you know, light party. So anyway, there's that. All right, hey, by the way, coming up after this next break we got in a few minutes with the news, we're going to go talk to Ernie Yarbrough. He just literally came out of nowhere. Like, you know, the world may be saying, Ernie who? Well, Ernie Yarbrough. And he ran a great campaign. And by the way, he had one of the most ridiculous ads. He took the theme from Gilligan's Island and did a song about his opponent. And if you heard it, it was about his opponent, Prancy Robertson. It was like an earworm. I couldn't get it out of my head. But anyway, Ernie ran a great campaign, and solid, and apparently the voters agreed. I got to meet him. You know, of course, Prancy Robertson, good guy, former law enforcement, maybe still a law enforcement guy, had been in office for at least 4 years. But, you know, the voters decided that Prancy Robertson was not their guy now, and that Ernie Yarbrough had earned the right to that seat. And so we're going to talk to Ernie Yarbrough right now after the news. Just won the Republican primary, likely going to Montgomery to be Representative Yarbrough. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.